You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Well, here we go, folks. Week 16. Your championships are upon you. My championships are still alive. George playing in a huge championship this weekend, and we kick it off on this Saturday morning by saying the happiest of holidays to all of you. New Year facing us down the barrel. Christmas just a couple of days away, but we're happy to have you join us. So thank you for listening on iHeartRadio or TuneIn Radio or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. We're happy to have you joining us. And George, it very much feels like the holiday season for me finally, and I think many of us you work ourselves pretty thin, and then you look up and it's December 23rd on the calendar. You're like, all right, I'm going to settle in here for a couple of days of family and football.
Yeah, it gets on you pretty quick. It certainly it gets on you pretty quick. I thought Thanksgiving was really fast. Oh my God, it's Thanksgiving already. And now we got Christmas in a couple of days, especially when you have kids and they're looking forward to it. Sure. You're doing the countdown. My youngest keeps asking, when's Christmas? You know, how many days? When's Christmas? You know, so, you know, and Christmas is for the kids, which is fantastic. But yeah, it does feel like it, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for years when you don't have kids, the Christmas season, the holiday season is nice, but you don't, there's not as much skin in the game, so to speak. But when you have kids, it really ratchets things up. So, you know, I spent a lot of time this week trying to figure out what this Open was going to be. What is the story? And I came back to, ironically, it's similar to last week where we had Aaron Rodgers back in and Leonard Fournette out. Now we have Aaron Rodgers out and Zeke Elliott back in. So a big shift for people as we go to week 16, getting Zeke Elliott back.
Yeah, Zeke is back. We knew this was coming. If you held on to him, well, congratulations, because obviously you need him now in your championship game. You're starting him. I mean, there's not a question to me. I mean, unless you're loaded at running back, you're starting him. You're not going to worry about what the workload might be. Is he going to be rusty? Cowboys are going to run him to death. They need a bunch of things to happen to make the playoffs, but one is to win out. And the best way to win out is to give Zeke the ball and give it to him a lot. Dak Prescott is still looking shaky, so your best chance of winning is to feed Zeke.
I totally agree. And we had some of our colleagues on the network earlier this week were like, you can't guarantee that he's going to get the ball 20 times and they may try to ease him back in. I don't think that's the case. I think they don't even care. They don't want him to get hurt. But if he like pulled a hammy because they gave him the ball 25 times, well, you know what? You went down with your best guy doing right. Your best thing that you do. You know, a factor in this is that Tyron Smith is also continually banged up. They're saying he's going to give it a go. I have no doubt that he'll try to give it a go. Everything's on the line for the Cowboys, and I'm with you. You're playing Zeke. I'm in a championship game, and I'm getting him back going up against Jimmy Calandro. So I'm excited to have him back. I know you, as a Cowboys fan, are excited to have him back as well.
Of course. Like I said, Dallas needs a bunch of things to go right, though. I doubt they get in anyway, but if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose at my best.
That's right. Go down swinging. So we'll talk about some of those playoff scenarios after the break. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Welcome to the Heavy Metal Christmas Show. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts. We went a different route here. Forget Bing Crosby. I think that's Guar. Some crazy.
Guar?
Yeah. You ever hear Guar? It's like that weird.
No.
Corn. It was corn. Guar is that weird, like, They're like a metal band, but they are known for wearing these outrageous costumes that almost look goblin-esque. It's like a avant-garde kind of heavy metal band. Just do some Googling after the show. G-W-A-R.
No.
I'm telling you, it's weird in any event. So we do kick off the show or the week today with a couple of games. We got Colts, Ravens, Vikings, Packers. Just need everybody to know that. I'm sure you're well aware. You know, I was so busy in the weeks leading up to it, I forgot that the Steelers are playing on Christmas again. I guess they played on Christmas Eve last year. No, it was Christmas last year. So it's 2 years in a row they're playing on Christmas. So they get the 4:30 game on Christmas, which is terrible for me. That is like during dinner and like leading into bedtime for my kids, and I'm not even going to be at home. So that's terrible timing for me. But in any event, you got Colts Ravens today at 4:30, a riveting game. 8:30 Vikings Packers with Brett Hundley under center on Christmas Day. So you have the full Sunday slate without a Sunday night game. Christmas Day of the Steelers 4:30 at the Texans, and then the Raiders at the Eagles at 8:30. I'm sure the Raiders are going to show up really well for that one on the East Coast, playing a team that is twice as good as they are. But that's why they play the games, George. So we'll see what happens there.
I think you're underselling the Eagles there.
Yeah, right. It could be triple or quadruple as good as they are, even with Nick Foles there, who actually.
I think only fantasy really fans are going to care about that game Christmas night.
I tend to agree. And it's going to be really important, by the way, because here we are in week 16. So why don't you give me a snapshot of what you got going on? Yeah, I know you're in our. So I'll give George some props. Our dynasty league that he and I are in, there's 32 teams in it, 16 team conferences that you draft into, so those players can mirror each other on both sides. It's a very competitive league. We've been in it for, this is, I think, the sixth year that we're in it. It's a 40-man roster with IDP players in there. You're starting 20 players a week, so it takes a lot to get through this league. And you are in the championship against Michael Rathburn, who's an industry veteran and has had a very good team. What I didn't know until this morning is that you went 6-6 in the regular season.
Yeah, I finished in the sixth seed. I had some issues. My team wasn't great. So I think the person I'm playing, I don't think it's Rathburn, by the way. Are you sure it's Rathburn?
I think I it's somebody else. I did look at it this morning. I'll double check as you're talking.
I think he lost last week, so I don't think it is Rathburn. I believe the team I'm playing though, which is
Smelzer.
Yeah, Smelzer.
Yeah. Kelly Smelzer from Punch Drunk Wonderland. I'm sorry. Well, kudos to Rathburn, who had a really good team, but Kelly Smelzer from Punch Drunk Wonderland is the guy that you're going to be playing.
He was the fourth seed in his conference. So, hey, a couple of wild cards. Well, now he'd be a division winner, I guess, technically, right? Fourth seed going by the NFL. But I was a wild card. I made it in, and I'll take it. Listen, I lost a Super Bowl last year.
You're the 07 Giants. Hey, you're the 07 Giants. Yeah, you're making a run here. I went 6-6. I probably scored more points than you. I'm irritated.
I think when you've scored more points, you'd be in.
No,
you played an easier conference, if I remember correctly, by the way.
I don't think this year. I think there was a bunch of like pretty high point scores. In any event, I'm not going to cry over spilt milk. I'm trying to give you credit for being in the championship game.
Yeah, this is outside of my home leagues. This is my favorite league. I love IDP. I wish this was a super flex, but I love IDP. It's my favorite type of league. I think more teams should do it. More leagues should do it. Not to the extent that we do. We start more defensive players than we do offensive players.
This is
you got to know your stuff here. That's all fine and good, but even if you just started one linebacker, one defensive lineman, one secondary, that's fine. A nice little startup kit there. I think it's the way to play. I hope it's the future. I doubt it, but I hope it is. But this is a league I lost in the Super Bowl last year. I am not going to become the new Buffalo Bills. I am winning this week. I want to take this down. I'd be annoyed if I don't. Only because I don't want to lose 2 years in a row in the Super Bowl here. So sorry, Smelzer. You must go down, and you must go down hard.
Yeah, that's good. So I'm rooting for you. You put up a big number last week, so your team is you're putting up a lot of points consistently here. So I'm in, I thought I was in a consolation game. It turns out there's no money on the line, so forget that. I'm in a championship game against Jamie Calandro in the, I'm one of the poorest run leagues we've ever been in the two quarterback league, with broken waivers and a really bad site that we're using. Somehow, some way, I made it through and I get Zeke Elliott back. So I'm pumped and hopefully, by the way, you were joking about that that game on Monday night, on Christmas night, meaning only something to fantasy players. I have Derek Carr in that league, so I'm going to need whatever kind of points I can get.
I can kill you there.
A
in that game Sunday night, I'm going to end up having Foles, Aguilar, Jeffrey, and at least two IDPs. So, yeah, I'll be very interested in that Christmas night game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we'll see. Hopefully I have a big enough – hopefully I have a lead going into that game that it won't matter. But in any event, we will break down all these games in the next hour. But let's talk a little bit about these playoff scenarios, just a couple of minutes. Jaguars are in play for the top AFC seed. The Patriots can't clinch home field just yet. They're going to need a little bit more help from the Steelers and potentially the Jaguars. The Eagles are – I think the Eagles are playing for the top spot. So if they win on Christmas night, Monday night, they will be in line
correct,
for the top
done.
Seed.
Well, Minnesota loses tomorrow, tonight.
So the Chiefs, a victory Sunday over the Dolphins or a Chargers loss at the Jets would clinch the AFC West for the Chiefs. Amazing, right? This, I have to be honest, going into the year, the AFC West was very difficult for me to figure out. Vegas was in love with the Chargers. I've always been a fan of Andy Reid and the way in which he's able to navigate the regular season. They had this horrible stretch, obviously, in the middle of the year. They lost 6 of 7, I believe it was. The Raiders fell apart, and I wasn't on the Raiders bandwagon this year. And Denver was worse than anybody would have expected. Even if they finished with 6 wins, they were awful. I mean, they were 3-9 at one point, right? Maybe even 3-10. So that's been a weird thing. But the Chiefs going to ultimately clinch it, even if it hasn't been that impressive of a season. So the NFC South is where stuff's really still going on, right? We have Falcons, Saints, with the Panthers, and the Panthers are playing the Bucks, and all of this stuff means a lot for the NFC South, which is the division that's most up in the air.
It is. It's the most fun division to watch right now, and if one of those teams loses 2 games in a row, which someone will have a chance to do that, so the Falcons and Saints play each other, then the Lions could get in if they sweep out. You know, the Cowboys that would get in if that same thing happens and the Lions lose one of their final 2 games. So the South is the division to watch. They land their Bucks at the Falcons. Saints game tomorrow is probably the biggest game on the docket here. I'm looking, I mean, I guess you could say Buffalo and New England, but no, I don't think that challenges that game. I think that is the biggest game of the day. I guess Seattle-Dallas as well. That's pretty much an elimination game. The loser, yes, there's definitely out, but even the winner may be out too. So I still think Atlanta and New Orleans is the big game, but those are the two biggest games of the day. Atlanta, New Orleans early, Seattle, Dallas late.
Yeah, 6 teams will be eliminated if they lose in week 16. Los Angeles Chargers, Detroit Lions, Seattle Seahawks, Dallas Cowboys, Miami Dolphins, Oakland Raiders, soon to be the Las Vegas Raiders. It doesn't matter if I get it right. It's going to change soon anyway. All but the Raiders will be home in time for Christmas. So, interesting thing about the Bills is that the Bills could beat the Patriots but still fall out of the playoffs, because if the Ravens win, beating the Colts today, the Ravens and Bills would both have 9-6 records, but the Ravens would have the advantage based on the common games tiebreaker that wouldn't kick in until this week. So it's a big reason why the Bills still only have a 28% chance to make the playoffs, while the Ravens are at 92%. The Ravens finish with the Colts and Bengals both at home, while the Bills are playing at New England and then at Miami. So I actually don't like the Bills' chances at all to win this game, let alone make the playoffs. So in any event, there you go. That's some fun facts going over the playoff scenarios. Another thing that I wanted to bring up is, I should probably do this after the break, because we're going to talk injuries after the break. And I was listening to Adam Schefter on the radio the other day, and he was saying as many as 10 coaches could be gone this year. He said there's about six to eight that are locked in, and there's always usually a, like, hey, I didn't know that was coming kind of move. So it could be as many as 10. The average has been about seven. Each and every year for like the last, I think, 5 years. But we can have as many as 10, nearly a third of the league turning over, George.
It's that way every year, right? Usually it's a quarter of the league. This year, a third. It's not that high a jump. I think offseason, coaching changes, and new quarterbacks. That's going to be the story.
Absolutely. The biggest quarterback market in many, many years. So we'll talk a little bit about that and go over the injuries after the break. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Welcome to the Roto Experts, the Saturday edition with Mike and George. If you want to reach out to us, please do so today via Twitter. You can do it at FNTSY Radio. Ask us any of your lineup questions. Obviously, a lot of people getting down to the nitty-gritty of this season want to find out exactly what it is that they can do to try to win a championship. So at FNTSY Radio, I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. And we will open the phone lines a little bit later today. So give us a call at 844-843-6879 and try and get yourself a championship. So, George, we'll talk about the coaching thing in a minute, but we got to go over some injuries. And there's some important ones. Kelvin Benjamin continues to deal with a nagging injury. Remains to be seen if he'll play in Sunday's game against the New England Patriots. I'm not feeling good about that either way. Jaguars wide receiver Allen Hurns is questionable to play against the Niners, but Marquise Lee is out. Marquise Lee has obviously been a real boon for people here, especially in the second half of the fantasy season. He's out.
Yeah, he is. That leads to some, I guess, good and bad news. Obviously, the fact we know it about it already is good. Yeah, people got screwed last week. We went out so earlier, but now we'll play a guessing game. All right, we like the match. Also, we like Bortles again. All right, we like him going up against San Fran tomorrow. But what receiver to pair him with? Westbrook laid an egg last week. You know, said it was Mickens, you know, that no one ever really heard of, and Keelan Cole, which no one started Cole last week, even though we were on him as a possible pickup. You know, so which one this week? Is it two of them? One of them? None of them? You know, you're playing a guessing game. There's really no way of knowing which one. Is it a Westbrook week because he'll be the featured guy? Or maybe it's Keelan Cole. You know, who does Bortles feel good about? Or maybe it's just the run game here. It's a tough game to figure out here. I'd be very careful about starting any of these wide receivers because you are sort of playing a 1-3 Russian roulette game.
No doubt about it. And, you know, they're going up against the Niners. They can conceivably run the ball, control the clock, try to keep Garoppolo away from it, and just go that route, which is really how they built the success of the team all year. So frustrating there for Lee owners, but in any event, at least you know now. Ravens wide receiver Jeremy Maclin sat out practice again. He's doubtful for today's game against the Colts. Offensive tackle Ronnie Stanley is questionable. I bring this name up because this next name up because I know there's no fantasy relevance, but Dante Moncrief is out, as well as Brandon Williams, Rashad Melvin, Denzel Good. But those aren't really of importance. Dante Moncrief was a guy that was obviously on the fantasy radar. People were concerned that Luck was injured going into the season. What do you think his numbers are this year, George? If you had a guess.
Moncrief?
Yeah.
Numbers. Oh, God. Offhand, this one's so. I don't know. I'll give him 51 catches, 600 yards, and two. I guess that ain't
26
that ain't
catches,
right.
391, and two touchdowns on 45 targets.
I was right about that.
How terrible is that? T.Y. Hilton has 48 catches for 852 and four. A miserable season. Jack Doyle has 71 catches, actually, which is pretty amazing. He has been far and away the most valuable pass catcher on that team. So, and the T.Y. Hilton thing, it's on 90 targets. It's just such a bad season. It's really shocking. But, you know, Andrew Luck's not there, so what did we expect? Brissett's done an adequate job, but the team in general is falling apart. Speaking of coaching changes, I think you'll be seeing one in Indianapolis. Green Bay Packers coach Mike McCarthy declared Devontae Adams out. So bad news for Devontae Adams owners. I think, you know, we saw this coming from a couple of days ago. So Devontae Adams is out. Who is going to see those targets from Brett Hundley?
Well, I guess the smartest of me might want to say, who cares? Okay, A, you're going up against Minnesota. This wasn't a great matchup if Adams was playing. Now you're going back to Hundley. Are you starting? It will be Randall Cobb. Cobb plays out of a slot, so he'll see some more targets because of it. But Geronimo Allison, is he the guy you want? The guy who may have ended their season last week with that late fumble when Green Bay may have been going in for the score here. A lot of fantasy owners might hate him because if you know, they go in for the score there and Green Bay can pull out that win, Rodgers is still playing this week. So, you know, certainly frustrating there. Not that I think Green Bay was going to beat Minnesota tonight anyway. But it's a rough game for Packers tonight. It's also supposed to be pretty damn cold in Green Bay tonight, Mike. Below 20, when he's gripping that football on both sides, is going to be interesting for guys who really weren't starters before this year. So I don't know how much experience they've had throwing that football in this cold weather. That ball is very slick, very hard, very heavy in this case. So I'm not
UCLA
liking anybody.
Quarterback.
Yeah, it's not good. I'm not liking anybody in Green Bay.
Hundley, not a cold weather guy, as you said. 14 degrees at kickoff tonight. The Ravens game is going to be
worse.
Rainy and windy, 60 degrees. So unseasonably warm, but windy and rain in that game today. So, yeah, as you said, 14 degrees, real cold there. I'm looking at other weather just so we cover that as well. Slight snow, 21 degrees in Chicago tomorrow for the Browns, hosting the Browns. Outside of that, Cowboys, breezy, partly. It doesn't matter. Yeah, that's it. Nothing really crazy beyond that. So a little bit of snow in Chicago. And today's game's got a little bit of weather, but nothing crazy. I suppose if it got really windy in Baltimore, you'd be concerned with it being rainy and windy at the same time. You should be concerned probably about any Packers options there, as George said. Might be a little tough on them. Let's see what else we got here. Panthers, you got a bunch of guys banged up. Devin Funchess, Russell Shepard, they're ready to go. Matt Forte, Elijah McGuire, expected questionable. The Washington football team loses Trent Williams. They place their left tackle on IR, who's been playing apparently with a significant knee injury for a while there, George. So he's done for the year.
Washington's got a host of injuries. I mean, Crowder's banged up too. We don't know if he'll go tomorrow. So if you're thinking about starting him in fantasy, you may want to have a backup and be looking for a replacement because even if Crowder goes, Kirk Cousins looked all that good last week. You mentioned the injury to Williams now. This is a shell of a former team here. And they're playing Denver secondary that could still bowl there. I think I'd look for somebody else other than Jameson Crowder tomorrow as well.
Tampa Bay Bucks wide receiver DeSean Jackson is out. So you're going to have to look at another direction there. Gerald McCoy is playing with a torn bicep. I don't really know why he would do that. The season is over. I would IR myself and just look towards next year. I know he's a team leader and he gets paid a ton of money. If you're playing with a torn biceps, the season's over. Just call it a day, right?
I agree. I mean, Alex, if you're in the playoff run, that's fine. Why? You're trying to keep Carolina out of the playoffs, play spoiler. I get that, and that's fantastic. You know, and I certainly applaud that. But I think at this point, if I'm the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I don't want him to play. Because what if that injury gets worse?
Right.
I'm not a doctor. I don't know if he can get worse. You know, maybe the doctor told him you can't do any more damage than you've already done. But I want to make sure if I'm Tampa Bay that he's healthy for next year. You know, that's 100%. When the game count again, when it means something. So, if I'm Tampa Bay, odds are, right, unless the doctors have told me absolutely 100% sure he can't do anything worse, he'll be fine, I'm shutting him down.
I totally agree. I respect him a lot, but I really don't understand it in this instance. Cameron Brate, Lavonte David are questionable. I have not heard that they were leaning towards out. Keep going through. Here we go. Donzel Perryman out. He's, I know, a big part of your IDP team. So Denzel Perryman is not playing, which is a bummer because he was hurt for a lot of the year. And now it comes down to championship week and he's out again.
Yeah, and I have Perryman in that IDP league, but it's disappointing. He got hurt. He's out. What are you going to do? You move on. Luckily, on linebackers, you can find linebackers. Maybe you can't get the amount of points he would have gotten, but if you're in an IDP league, you can find someone to probably get two-thirds of the points, so you don't get killed here as far as IDP Perryman is concerned. I don't think it makes the Jets look any better tomorrow as far as Powell is concerned or Forte. It doesn't make you want to start any of those guys. Because Perryman's out here.
But, good times. Remember the almost Bilal Powell discussions in the preseason? Remember all those?
The Jets never seemed to want to use him. You know, they didn't want him to be the featured back. It was strange how the Jets approached this year with Bilal Powell. Originally, I thought maybe they were featuring Forte so much because they wanted to trade him too in season, like they traded everybody else before the season. That ended up not working out either. I don't know why, Mike, but yeah, the Jets never seemed to be totally on board with Bilal Powell this year.
I mean, he's going to end up, if you're going to count week 17, because he's right now, he's got 168 touches. You figure he's going to get to 200 touches on the year, which isn't egregious. But a lot of this has come late. 18 carries, 13 carries, 13 carries the last 3 weeks with really no efficiency attached to it whatsoever. But as you said, they didn't really feature him for the first 10, 11 weeks of the season unless somebody else was hurt. Keep going down through. Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict, running back Joe Mixon, cornerback Trey Kirkpatrick have all cleared concussion protocol. The Pats, questionable. Everybody's questionable on the Pats every week. Chris Hogan, Kyle Van Noy, James White. Dallas Cowboys left tackle Tyron Smith, we talked about him earlier, questionable to play against the Seahawks. Looks like he's going to gut it out and try and go. And I saw Bobby Wagner, despite the fact that he hasn't practiced all week for the Hawks, is likely going to play. So a lot of important guys sucking it up as we get here to do or die time.
Yeah, it's point of the season where now you play if you're involved in the playoff hunt. You get hurt. Hey, once again, you went down trying. You know, so I think you see a lot of that where guys are going to go. Tyron Smith, Bobby Wagner, two perfect examples. I don't know if either one finishes the game tomorrow, but they'll both start and give it a go. And if they go down, well, hey, at least once again, we go down five. We go down with our best, too. I think that's how teams approach this as well. Just like fantasy owners are doing the same thing. If I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose with my best players.
Totally agree. We'll come back. We'll continue to talk about Week 16 in the NFL. We'll talk a little bit about some coaching changes potentially and the quarterback market. What's that going to look like? It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio. We'll be back after this. If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product. Neil Peart, Canadian Wonder. So, in any event, I want to talk, you know, we talk fantasy, obviously, each and every week, and sometimes we don't get into the actual NFL news, but it's something that George and I, you know, kick around during breaks and all that kind of stuff. And I think these topics are interesting because we're getting towards the end of the season. We'll break down the games in the next hour, sort of game by game, go through it and give you all the information that you need. And I'll answer any Twitter questions that have come in on FNTSY radio as well. So here's what I surmise from the coaching changes, George. The Giants are obviously already done. I think the other definites are the Bengals, despite the fact that Marvin Lewis is playing at coy. I think he's retiring or resigning from the Bengals to go do something else, whether it's move to the front office somewhere, work for the league, whatever it might be. The Colts, I think they're making a change with Pagano. I think the Bears are going to make a change with John Fox. And despite the fact that I haven't heard it with any definitive nature, I think Tampa's going to make a move and get rid of Dirk Cutter. Those are my five definites. Any of those wrong in your opinion?
All right. During the break, I made a list of 10 teams. I was going quickly that I think are certainly leaning more towards a coaching change than not. The five you mentioned are on my list. So, yes, Tampa, yeah. Chicago, Giants, Indy, and Cincinnati. I agree. Those are on my list of teams that more than likely are making a coaching change.
And I will say, as I wrote them down too, I wrote another 11 teams where I think it's possible. It wouldn't stun me. I left out the teams that I think are just absolutely locked in. I can't see any of those teams making a change. But I'll let you name your five that I didn't name.
All right. These are more out there. Cleveland, I'm shocked that Ken Dorsey would come take over the GM and not be allowed to hire his own coach and be told he has to keep Hugh Jackson.
I wrote them down as well.
I'm wondering why.
That Dorsey wouldn't be able to go to Haslam during the offseason and be like, look, especially if they don't win, we went 0-16. I think it's time for these guys to get a fresh approach. They've won one game in 2 years. Can we?
He's 1-29.
Despite what you said. Yeah, right.
I mean, why does he have to stay? I don't get that. So I think Cleveland is on this list. Tennessee, Milwaukee, if they don't make the playoffs, they end up choking this up, which looks like there's a pretty damn good chance they're going to do it. I think this guy has to go.
I've had the Titans over 8.5, and I got to be honest, for like the last 2 months, I haven't been sure I'm going to make it. They were 8-5, and going into a stretch where they were going to play the Niners, the Rams, and the Jaguars, and I actually did not think they were going to do it. I think they're going to end up going 8-8 and miss the playoffs, so I also have them on this list. I think it's fair to say if they win one of these two games and make the playoffs, because I think they only need to win one, is that right?
I'm not 100% sure on that,
wrong.
But they need to win at least one.
What if they go 9-7 and miss the playoffs? What if they go 9-7 and miss the playoffs?
It's because of what else has happened here. It means you didn't make the pretty much. You lost to Arizona and San Fran back to back. Mariota's taking a huge step backwards. That's the problem here. The running game, you won't go away from DeMarco Murray, even though it's fairly obvious that Derrick Henry's the better back. I think these are all knocks against Tennessee. But if they do get in the playoffs, this all goes away.
I agree with that. It's a curious thing, though. If they went like 9-7 and they lost out on tiebreakers, do you still make that move?
I think
it's kind
of
a wishy-washy way to go about it, but I understand that. They're also on my list, too. I wrote them down.
Next, Bruce Arians in Arizona. I think he's going. It's not all his fault. Listen, you lose your quarterback, you lose your running back, you're going to have some issues here. But he had some issues going in anyway. This team really hasn't improved. They're not really a Super Bowl contender anymore. I think if you're going to bring in a new quarterback and you're going to start fresh, you pretty much start fresh with a new coach as well.
I think from a variety of things I've read throughout the year that this was seemingly, regardless of what had happened beyond a huge success this season, they were going to move on. I think that maybe the locker room had grown weary and or management had grown weary of him. I would actually probably move him into the gone category. I would say he's one of the six that are definitely gone. So I would move him over and say that that's likely to happen. Again, I don't blame him. I actually kind of like Bruce Arians' mentality and all that kind of stuff and his approach, but I think that act is over. They're going to close the books on the Carson Palmer, Bruce Arians era and move on.
Now, the next one, I don't think this is fair at all, because I think you can make an argument this guy deserves the Coach of the Year awards. Lord knows, I didn't think they'd win 2 to 3 games, and they've already won 5. That sounds bad, but if you with this roster and all the trades they made during the offseason, but I wonder if Todd Bowles has gone from the Jets, if they're going to start fresh, especially if they get it, once you get a new quarterback there, want to get maybe a new offensive coach to groom this quarterback. I wonder if Todd Bowles has coached or will coach his last 2 games for the New York Jets.
Yeah, what's curious is that they were so competitive in a bunch of games. They're 5-9 right now. I don't think we expect them to win either of their last 2 games. They got the Chargers today. Do they finish up against? Who do they finish up against? I'll take a look at it now just to get a sense of what their chance. Oh, the Pats. They're at New England, so they're not going to win that. So they're going to end up going 5-11. Now, yes, people thought they were going to win 2 or 3 games, but George, during the course of the year, they blew a few fourth quarter games. They could have as many as 8 wins right now, and you could argue that they don't because of the way that he coached them in some of those fourth quarters. You could argue it. I'm not saying it's fair, but you could argue it. And I have him teetering. I actually would lean towards him not coming back, and I don't think it's entirely fair, but I would lean towards him not coming back.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it's fair because I think he's done. I really think he's done a pretty good coaching job this year. A couple of the catch rules have screwed the Jets as well against the Pats and against I forget who else they lost the catch rule to. So it's sad that we call it you lost because of the catch rule. That's great. Yeah. The other one, this one's probably more out there, but this team is always a playoff team. Not going to make the playoffs this year. They're a one man team. And he's pretty much proven that. But I wonder if Aaron Rodgers being out, Green Bay not making the playoffs, gives the Packers the excuse to move on from McCarthy, who's received his fair share of criticism. Even when they made the playoffs, pretty much people assumed it was almost instead because it's just all about Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't.
In
had
spite
nothing, really,
of
really
McCarthy
nothing to do
being
in spite
there.
Of. That's the word I was thinking of.
Yeah,
in spite of McCarthy. I wonder if they move on from McCarthy.
I have them on my questionable list as well. It's 12 years, I think. This is his 12th year with the team. It's a long run. It would be a little odd to have missed Rodgers for 2 months, and they could end up going, I don't know, let's call him 8-8. They're going to lose today. I don't know. They have in week 17. It might be the Bears or something. Or
Detroit.
Or the Lions or something. Yeah, so say they win that. 8-8. And you miss Aaron Rodgers for 8 games. That's a tough way to let somebody go. And I think because of his status there, Aaron Rodgers would have to be involved in that decision. I still think they have a pretty close relationship. So I would lean towards him staying, but I could see it happening. Which leads me to the other side of the ledger. What if Detroit misses the playoffs? Jim Caldwell.
Well,
I don't care about the extension.
Yeah, I think he stays. I don't think they're going to get rid of him. I think once the team's been competitive, they're not a great team. They'll be in it to week 17. I don't think they're going to lose this week to Cincinnati. Cincinnati's mailed it in. So if they lost their last 2 games, this would be different. But I think they win today. I think if they don't make the playoffs once again, it'll be because of a tiebreaker. They'll just barely miss out. I think he stays. So I have him on the other side. I'm not 100%. So I'm not saying definitely, but I have him on the other side of that ledger.
Cincinnati is as checked out as any team in the league. So
yes.
Think the Lions get that win.
It's another reason why Lewis has to go.
And do you see their wins this year? It's this, I think, last week.
Because nobody's.
They beat the Browns twice. And their other wins are against the Bills, 20-16. They beat the Colts by a point. And they beat the Broncos by a field goal. That is their wins this year. So that's as unimpressive a resume as you could have. There's teams that have less wins than them that are probably better, like the Texans. I'll ask you a few other questions. Is Miami too dysfunctional to keep Adam Gase around?
I thought about him, and I knew you were going to put him on your list there, and he almost made mine. I haven't heard anything about him going. He's only been there 2 years. I think he gets another year once again. He lost a starting quarterback beginning of the year. Not that Tannehill's great. He's certainly not. But I think he gets a pass because of that. Even though you could argue Cutler was his guy. You know, he's a little insistent on getting Cutler,
definitely
paying him $10 million a year. So, and that certainly hasn't worked out at all. I think he gets one more year.
Read an article earlier this week that said Ryan Tannehill's the starting quarterback in Miami.
Read the same thing.
Yeah, so
I'm hearing the same thing.
Everybody forgets about it, but Tannehill's probably going to be back in Miami. Denver, was it so dysfunctional that they get rid of Vance Joseph after a year? Because Elway's the kind of guy would pull the plug.
Yeah, but I think it also makes Elway look bad. Because now he's getting rid of everybody now. You know, defensive coordinator, his offensive coordinator, his coaches, you know, he may have made some mistakes here. So I think Elway's going to be a little bit more
patient. Five QBs since 2012.
Right. And he's starting to look like that. Maybe he's out of his league a little bit, despite winning that Super Bowl. I'm going to say Elway does not. He gives him, once again, another guy. He gets another year. He does not fire. But he's certainly on that list because of what you're talking about.
Jason Garrett.
No, Jerry Jones likes his puppet.
I think so. I'm with you. At some point, though, you got to win something.
But it also was 13-3 last year, too. So, but you never know with Jerry Jones. But no, I think he's.
They might regress by like four or five games. It's not a positive.
You never know with Dallas, man. You just never know. The coaching staff definitely sucks.
Last two, Pete Carroll. Are they done? Is that Pete Carroll over in Seattle?
No, he stays.
And Jay Gruden in Washington.
Thought about him too, but we're hearing nothing about Snyder wanting to make a move here, so I think he stays as well. But that's another one, especially with Kirk Cousins. If he goes, maybe Gruden goes too.
Well, they won't know. That's the problem. So we'll come back. We'll talk some QBs and all the other games after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone, we promise. No weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
This is the way to celebrate the holidays. A little Pearl Jam as we head towards the end of the first hour. And something we've been doing all year long that I want to tell you folks about is DKMS. RotoExperts.com/DKMS or DailyRoto.com/DKMS. You can go there to find out a little bit more about the DKMS cause and their mission to fight blood cancer. And our goal is to have people go to those URLs. And you're going to either sign up as a bone marrow donor, you can make a donation, or help us by spreading the word about the DKMS cause, especially during this holiday season. And we've done it in a fun way because we have a third partner in this, and that's Fantasy Draft. So when you go to one of those URLs, RotoExperts.com/DKMS and DailyRoto.com/DKMS, you're going to find a link to Fantasy Draft. And when you go into that link, you're going to potentially enter a free DFS contest. It's a big tournament every week. It's been about 800 to 1,000 people for most of the year. We're going to have 16 weekly winners. So we already have 15 weekly winners. You could potentially be the 16th if you win the tournament this week. And all 16 weekly winners are going to play in the grand prize contest next week. And the winner of that grand prize contest gets what, George?
Well, Mike, they get two tickets to the big game.
You've been very consistent with the game show announcer voice as we do this read, so I can appreciate that. So if you win this week and you win next week, you're going to go to the Super Bowl. So best of luck in trying to attain that. I've had some pretty good weeks. Haven't won. I have some pretty good weeks, but I haven't won. I'm going to try and win this one last time. DailyRoto.com/DKMS or RotoExperts.com/DKMS. Find out more about the cause and play. Have a little bit of fun and play a DFS contest to try and win. It's free to enter, so it's all good. So, in any event, so talked about that. What is the one thing I wanted to fill this segment with? We can't talk about the quarterbacks because there's a quarterback carousel that we could talk about that's going to be very interesting. As interesting a quarterback carousel as we could find during a given season, right? George, we're going to have the Cousins and the, you know, Cousins, where does he go? And Jimmy Garoppolo stays, and what do the Jaguars do with Blake Bortles and Tyrod Taylor? And there's a ton of guys that are going to be available. I think you said there could be as many as 11 quarterback changes.
originally, when I discussed this on, I think, Fantasy First Look or the Black Book a couple of weeks ago, I had 11. Garoppolo, I think now has cemented that he's staying in San Fran. They'll either franchise him, so I think he's their starter there. So now I have it back down to 10. You mentioned a whole bunch of the teams that are on this list. You can throw Arizona there, the Giants, Washington need a new quarterback. Minnesota, they have three. They're all free agents. So technically they're in it. I'm sure they'll sign one of them, Bridgewater, Bradford, Keenum, maybe two. But they're all free agents, so that's going to be intriguing to see what they do there. Denver's on this list. The Jets are on this list. You know, teams that are going to need quarterbacks next year. Between free agency and the draft, it's going to be a windfall to see who's going where. This is why Washington made such a big mistake with Cousins. Because, what, did you think he wasn't going to get a big-time offer from one of these teams? So of these nine teams, you know, the Cleveland, the Jets, Jacksonville, Buffalo will give him $120 million over whatever, however many years. Somebody is. It was a mistake by the Redskins.
If you put a percentage on the chance that he stays in Washington, what would that be?
25. Because I think even if they offer the most money now, I don't think he wants to be there. He has to feel underappreciated, right?
He has been saying that he would like to stay, though.
I'm sure. Well, he's got to say that. You never burn your bridges, man. Never.
I get it.
I would say that no matter where I was, I want to get paid. You know, plus, if you do end up there, you don't want to burn your bridges with the fans, too, and have them hate you and the media and all that. So you say all the right things. The only good news for Washington is that with Garoppolo locking up San Fran, at least in my mind, that does take away one place where he was almost certainly wanting to go.
Yeah, I agree. So this is a much larger topic that we can't tackle now. We'll come back. We'll talk about the games next on the Roto Experts. It's Mike and George. On this holiday weekend, we'll be back.